The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Enjoy ultra-fast speeds up to 10 times faster than Sky's standard broadband.
Well, we'll get into that now in a second. But, I'm welcoming to studio a man by the name of Robbie Connolly. Welcome, Robbie. Nice to see you this morning.
Good to be here, man. Thanks.
You live in the world of tattoos, or, you know, I always try not to sound like I'm trying to be cruel by anything, but inking is a word that you hear used a lot. Yep. It's big business, and a lot of people will know your business. I mean, you've a story to tell. We'll get there in a moment. But tell us the businesses that you run and own.
Yeah, well, we run and own and operate two different brands. One of them is called The Ink Factory. That's operational out of 15 Weldon Quay and 19 Parliament Street. And then there's another brand called Pierced.
Yeah.
And that's in 63 Camden Street, the Jervis Shopping Centre, and the Square in Talla.
Do you never think of getting an old venue in Pierce Street now? Just be done with, you know, just combining history and pop
soon.
Culture.
I'll take it on board now after this. Yeah, we'll do it.
But, you know, I remember being I went to Vegas once in my life, and it must have been 10 years ago. And it didn't really do anything for me, Rob, to be honest with you, but I was intrigued to see it. But what struck me at the time was everywhere I looked, anyone under 30 had tattoos. And I thought, this is it. This is, generationally, this is it. If you're not inked, you're you know, you'd be very strange.
It's a global trend. Anybody
under
30,
over the world?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere you go.
What happened? I mean, when does it become a critical point for people to go, that's what we do now?
I think, you know, when it kind of seeped into mainstream culture, it was the advent of those shows, Miami Ink and stuff like that, kind of the rise of the popularity in tattooing. It's always been a subculture, but now it's definitely more and more mainstream, increasingly so every year.
Yeah. And they come in, like, they can have such delicate, discreet on the hands, on the knuckles of the fingers, particularly. And then you can go bonkers, obviously, and you can go sleeves.
Do the whole body.
The whole body. I mean, business is booming, I suspect, for
it's,
you.
You know, it is. It's a massive industry globally, and we're very proud and very happy to be part of it.
Yeah, because it's beautiful. I mean, the right tattoo on the right arm,
it enhances
or whatever,
the body.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, massively.
And it, because some people, I think, can be a bit uptight about tattoos. Certainly my generation and beyond would be kind of, no, I just don't want to be marked for life. But as they say, if it's art.
We do see a lot of older people now coming in as well, Ryan, people from the 60s and 70s, and just saying,
it's time. Yeah. What's the ratio of male to female in terms of getting
tattoos? I'd say women deal with pain, as you know, a lot better than men. So I'd say it's probably 60-70% female into our shops, definitely. And even more so on the piercing side of things. But women, as you know, they're much better at dealing with pain. So they frequent the shops a lot more.
Do you think it's a pain thing? That they're well more able
they're just
for
more. Well, I think women are more equipped in life.
You think they're more hardwired psychologically and physically to
exactly,
take a tattoo?
They can take it. I've seen the strongest men fail under the needle. So.
Fainted?
Fail. They just, you know.
No, but have they fainted?
I've seen everything. We've seen everything.
Tears.
You name it. You name it. We've seen it.
And is there a popularity tattooed? You know what I mean by that? In a given year, do you see like
there's different trends, different things happen. Obviously, like, you know, different celebrities cause different trends to occur. Like, you would see things rising to prominence and falling away, but there is the old staples that stay there. Black and grey realism, Japanese tattooing. That's kind of there forever. It's in the lexicon of tattooing forever.
Okay. And would they come in at the odd time and say, I want what she has or he has.
Oh, David Beckham.
Oh, did Beckham
change
everything?
There was a whole spate of a David Beckham for 2 years, people coming in and getting the angel on the back. I wanted to throttle people when they were coming in, but it was fine.
Do you ever come across like a body and you go, look, I just don't, you know, sometimes I see tattoos on a particularly on a fella who might be a bit scrawny like myself, and you think oh, don't.
Another thing.
I know you're not going to be judgmental because
but another thing that came in was a lot of people were coming in and asking for The Rock's Polynesian tattoo.
What's that?
He has a massive Maori Polynesian tattoo on his chest and on his arm. It's quite intricate.
Yeah.
But I think most of the guys that were coming in and requesting it were hoping that it would make them somewhat look like The Rock, which is obviously hours and hours and years of being in the gym.
Yeah.
So that rose up in popularity for a while, but it's fallen away again.
Thank God, because you'd have to be kind of becoming a counsellor going, now listen, you're not The Rock.
Yeah,
so we need
to
talk about this.
Yeah.
You have a big event coming up on Saturday. And I think it's a gorgeous one because it's very much of our time. And talk to me about that. What is it?
Well, on the 2nd of October, we have it's our annual tattoo suicide prevention drive. It's been going on 4 years now. This is the fifth year. It was incepted after the loss of my brother, John, to suicide in 2016 in June. it's been going on every year since then, but this is the first year post-pandemic that we've decided to create a foundation in John's memory called the JC Foundation. So on the Saturday that's coming up, everybody's going to come in and get a small love heart. It's a €50 donation. It goes toward the foundation. The foundation will give out 365 free therapy sessions to people between the ages of 18 to 25 in the Leinster area who are unemployed.
Yeah, okay. That's a pretty remarkable thing to do. The tattoo itself is what it's going to be, like the size of your little fingernail or something
quite
like that.
Small,
yeah, that's small, Ryan, yeah. For people who are going, I want to be involved, but I don't want. So equally, people probably have secret tattoos, and they maybe no one will ever know.
Yeah,
but they want to.
You put it somewhere discreet. Absolutely.
What is the most discreet part of the body? I mean, obviously with.
I mean, like, you know, you can do, like, a lot of people have come in and asked for something small under the wristwatch or something like that. You know, people can want it in areas that it's not out on display. So yeah, you'll maybe the hip and stuff like that.
Of course, they're quiet, and then others want it on full display.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so that's what people could come into your venues, get the little heart, and pay £50, and that's for their own reasons. They can do that.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of people come in on the day, Ryan, who have been affected, deeply affected by this issue, and they want to come into a space where, you know, there's a lot of healing taking place, and it's safe to talk about suicide, and you're going to definitely bump into people who have met the same kind of tragedy, but with resilience and with a lot of hope in their hearts. And that's what this day is. You know, it's heartbreak to hope. It's really people getting together and performing a little bit of alchemy, in the sense that they're taking all this base material, all this awful stuff that's gone on, and they're turning it into something positive. And that's what collectively we do as a studio and as a group of people.
It's a lovely way of putting it, and it's sort of an alchemy of kindness, isn't it?
It is,
really?
Absolutely.
What age was John when he died?
John was 33. A beautiful fella, a beautiful guy. Unfortunately, with suicide, as you know, it kind of it frames the person's life in that context. That act kind of comes to kind of define them.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, he was an energetic, caring, compassionate, kind guy. He was maddening at times. He was my brother. I wanted to, you know, strangle him.
Show me a sibling that isn't maddening at some point. I'm one myself.
A beautiful guy, a very kind guy, gentle guy. And
what was he into? What made him happy? And like, go back to when you were boys.
I'll tell you what he was really entrepreneurial. So he really wanted to be out there doing business for himself. He loved hip hop. He loved movies. He had an absolute crazy fixation with Las Vegas.
There you go.
Just a wonderful guy to be around, and full of life and full of vigor and full of full of charm.
Was he? You know, he was in the room.
You know what, Ryan? I remember being in awe of him when I was a kid, because he got into business so young, and we would go into these meetings and I was just a whippersnapper, and he would command the room, and I'd be looking at him and going, he was my hero.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was my hero. Absolutely.
And he was your hero because you could see the way people respected him, maybe, or listened to him, or...
When you meet somebody who's so bloody minded and just wants the one thing and is in fifth gear to go get it, it's quite the sight. And I always... He always felt that around John, you know. He could make you believe anything. You're gonna be as successful as anyone. You know? That's what I felt when I was around him. Uplifting.
What sort of movies was he into? Was he into horror or science fiction
He was big into vampire movies, believe it or not, Ryan. And also then, obviously, he was a massive Scorsese fan. At his funeral, we would have played a few songs from Goodfellas and stuff.
Did
like
you
that.
Really? Yeah, which songs? I mean, it's one
Rags to Riches.
Oh, Tony
Rags
Bennett.
To Riches.
What
Tony
a great
Bennett.
Film.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
A, well, first of all,
beautiful.
What a great movie and a
great,
great
movie,
song.
Yeah, great way to send them off. Yeah, he was. I'm sure he would have been... happy with that.
What other songs did you play at his funeral?
We played a little mix. We had Rags to Riches. We had Comfortably Numb. And then there was a couple of hip hop tracks thrown in there, because he was an old school hip hop aficionado.
That's a real contemporary soundtrack to his departure.
Absolutely.
If you don't mind me putting
it was a lovely send off. I'm proud that we gave it to him the way we did.
And he was a dad?
He was a dad, a lovely young kid, a beautiful kid. He was smarter and better looking than the two of us combined. So he's a great guy, and he has an absolutely wonderful mother who does a fantastic job of rearing him, and she's just an incredible human being.
And he's what age is he?
He's 10.
Okay, that's a tough road for a young lad. But
he's
got a great mother and a good uncle.
He's in safe hands, anyway, for sure.
You know, I want to ask you, if you don't mind me asking you, Robbie, about when John was, you said June 9, 2016.
Yeah.
Had you, as a brother who clearly loves one brother, had you an inkling at all? Had you any part of your brain thinking, your man's, I'm worried about him? Or
there was issues surrounding addiction that John was going through. But did I ever think that he would do something like that? No, I didn't. Now, he had just opened up a very big business, a new business on Thomas Street at the time. Literally, it was only a couple of weeks old, the business, and was just taken off. And unfortunately, myself and my father, we were away when it happened. We were in Palermo at a wedding, and we got the news when we were up in the mountains of Corleone, actually, and we had to go down to Palermo the next day and fly home. But retrospectively, could I have done more? Ryan, everybody that's affected by suicide thinks the same thing. Yeah. I could have done more. I could have asked more questions. Yeah. I'd given more love.
Do you know, you've answered a question I didn't ask. I didn't ask you, do you think you could have done more?
So, yeah, well, there you go. We just reverted back to it.
You went straight into it. And I suspect that's something that is not uncommon in families where this happens, where you think, wow, if that phone call, I bet you think it's sliding doors the whole time. You know,
you often think about it, Ryan. Could you have been there? Could you, you know, what if you hadn't have left? There are these questions that are thrown up, you know, that you deal with, that you have to go through yourself, that, you know, it's a process of healing for sure, that you're looking at what you did or what you didn't do for him. And yeah, that's a lonely road sometimes after the event.
I don't doubt it. And I suppose what I really was asking you, respectfully always, but I was asking you about that time when it was getting towards his end days, and he just started this business on Thomas Street, you mentioned, which was doing what?
It was tattooing.
And it was going
barbering. Great. Yeah, and it was just a fresh business, nice concept. It was going to do well, for sure.
You mentioned addiction then. Can I ask you what he was addicted to?
Yeah, there would have been alcohol would have been an issue at one point, Ryan, and then he would have swapped the alcohol out for, I think, other stuff, pills and stuff like that. But again, with addiction, it's, you know, anything to escape whatever trauma or hurt that you may be feeling inside, anything that quells the pain, essentially.
When he was, you know, on a high from whatever he was addicted to, was he difficult to deal with? Do you think you lost the brother that you loved on occasion?
I think I lost some of my own humanity.
How?
When addiction robs people of their humanity, in the sense that we can become hardened, our hearts can become hardened towards people who are faltering in addiction, who are stumbling through life. And I definitely would look at my actions towards John's on some occasions, Ryan, as being lacking empathy. And it's something that I've had to deal with and something that I've had to come to terms with.
Were you, to be given a more benign interpretation, maybe, were you just fed up with his behaviour and found it very hard that he couldn't pick himself up?
You know, when you love somebody so deeply and so passionately, which I did with John, loved him deeply, passionately, like I said, he was definitely my hero.
Yeah.
And when you see your hero fall and falter, sometimes you can come somewhat angry. So yeah, anger would have been a part of it, yeah. And, you know, there are regrets around that, of course.
You're up in the mountains
in
Corleone. I mean, we talked about the mafia earlier on.
There you go.
Of all the places. I'm sure you've smiled
about
that.
Yeah. I've thought about it.
You got the call. And I whatever about a brother losing a brother, a father losing a son, I'm not trying to put a race against humanity on it. I'm simply saying that for a son to predecease a parent is one of the greatest cruelties of all.
100%, Ryan. Again, I had to come to an understanding that the grief that my father would have experienced would have been very different from my own grief.
Yeah, very different.
Through a different prism of understanding completely, because his relationship was with his son, my relationship was with my brother. So there was probably a different kind of heartache that my dad experienced from the loss of John.
It's 5 years now. So how's your dad doing?
He's great. He never lost his humour. He's never lost his joy. He's 65, going strong, still going to the gym. Yeah, he's a wonderful human being. I'm really I'm blessed to have him in my life. He's been a stalwart and a guy that's picked me up on numerous occasions, right? He's a beautiful guy.
It's good to hear that. And he's still going to the gym.
Yeah, he bench presses 100 kilo. I know he'd want me to say that.
I'm just embarrassed for all of me.
I'm embarrassed too, don't worry.
Your mum, tragically, I mean, and I think your aunts as well. I mean, there was a bad, desperate run.
We did, Ryan. What happened was we have my mum's sisters, Bernie and Mary, two beautiful people. They both got cancer around the same time and they went into the hospice terminally to kind of pass away together. Mary died and unfortunately Bernie died in the arms of my dad at the afters. With my mum watching, God. And then we lost my mum well after that from cancer as well. So it was a very, very turbulent year or two of extreme loss.
When did that all happen?
There was a couple of years, right? Just before John and I, probably a year and a half before that, we lost three of them. And then, I think it was a year later then we lost
You know,
John.
When you walked into this studio this morning, I got the sense that not met you, you just seem like a very good person, a very kind person. And I'm not trying to be patronising or plumossing you. You just have a goodness about you. And the reason I mention that is because I think that anyone who's been through that, lost a brother, your mother, your aunts, might have taken it a lot worse. But you've decided to harness that pain, if you don't mind me saying so, to do this charity event on at the weekend again. And the words are ringing in my ears. What you said a bit earlier on to me. You talk about going from heartbreak to hope. Mm-hmm. And are you at a good stage now? Are you at the hopeful stage?
Definitely at the hopeful stage, Ryan. I look back on John's life with kind of laughter and joy, and I think about him as he was, not about the event itself. And I'm very proud that we're out there putting together this drive, and I'm very proud that of all the people that work with us, a fantastic bunch, that they collectively get together, that they give over their time, and they do something so wonderful for so many people that are walking through the door. So I'm blessed. I feel blessed.
Okay. I like your style, thank you for being with us this morning.
Appreciate it.
Wishing you and your family every happiness which you deserve, and your dad. And his bench pressing, which is impressive and humiliating to those of us who are not 65, is wonderful. You very kindly offered me a JFK tattoo before we came on air.
On the neck.
And I'll very politely decline. I'm happy to look at them, but I don't want one. No, I really appreciate that. And lovely text says, say hello, well done to Rob and Eve from me. Legends, both of them, and very close friends, Caroline and Jonathan in Harold's Cross and at Ernesto's Cafe.
He's a top man.
He's a top man.
Jonathan Smith is one of the best.
Okay, so we need to get to Ernesto's and get our coffee. Okay, get to Jono. Sounds good. I might try and give Rags to Riches a run out this week in memory of your brother. How's
Thank
that?
You. That's right. Beautiful.
Really
Thank
nice you. To see you. Robbie Connolly, thanks for coming in to see us. And people can get involved by going to jcfoundation.ie. That's the website. And in for your lovely love heart tattoo on Saturday, if you can. Great to talk to you. Real pleasure, Robbie. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.